Hey.
Hello, all.
Hey.
Hi. Oh, cool.
Well, without further ado, let me introduce to you old professor, and I'm happy to say I was around with the occurrence thereof, old professor David Lankus from Syracuse University, coming to us via the power of the internet. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. I have to say I'm terribly jealous. I would much rather be where you are, particularly considering the great skiing weather that's going on, and that's in Springfield. Good Lord, what's up with that? I have about 20 minutes, I believe. Is that right, Andy?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So, why am I jealous? Well, one, because I'm in Syracuse, but it took lymphoma to keep me from getting on a plane and going, because this is my favorite project ever. And you guys are about to experience something really cool and really special if you take advantage of it. So sorry to start by giving advice, but let me give some advice here. Leave the office behind for a while. Take advantage of the ability to not check your email every 10 minutes. Turn the beeper off on your phone for a moment. And the one thing which is going to be the hardest for you to do is learn to enjoy ambiguity. Learn to enjoy something that isn't quite expected. Because I'll tell you, having done this a couple of times now, that's where the real interesting stuff occurs. What really happens is when you do something that's not expected, when something doesn't quite work the way you want, and having to overcome that is where you do some really interesting learnings and discoveries. And in fact, it was part of that that I just want to make a few comments on today, and then I'll leave you alone. We were having a conversation at the beginning of this, a couple years ago when it was just Illinois, pardon me. And we were talking about the projects and how were we going to make the projects work? What were the outcome of the projects going to be? And how could we judge them? And it was Mick Jacobson, a mover and shaker this year, which is really cool, who said, oh, now I get it. What we need to do is, our goal is to build awesome librarians, not awesome projects. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really cool, that phrase stuck with me for a minute. Now, I want to come back to a little bit about what awesome librarians means. But that means that the projects you're working on are important. The projects you're working on, you've taken the time and planning, and you'll continue to work on them. But they're one project in a much larger attempt to engage communities and engage with what's going on. So take the time to worry about the project, but take the time to understand how this goes beyond just a given project. The other thing that happened is we were, once again, in the middle of one of these, and Dan Eisen said, we have this problem where our teams are out there and they're working and they're thinking and they're playing with technology, but what they're doing is they're building websites, and what they should be doing is building conversations. So one of the themes I want you to think about as you're going through this, whether you're in Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio, Utah, what have you, is think about building great conversations. You know, we need to think about libraries. For a long time, we've thought a lot about building things, and we usually talk about building collections. And it's going to be really easy when you're in the middle of doing this to think about blogs and content management systems and videos. I saw a lot of tweets today about people are starting some video learning and video discussion and think about building the perfect video and the transitions and such. And we as human beings like to think about how we build artifacts and maintain artifacts. But as librarians, that's not really our primary goal. That these websites, these content management systems, these videos, they're just tools. Just like books, just like collections, just like our buildings. They're just tools to allow librarians to do what we do best, which is help our communities learn, right? That's what we're here to do. As librarians, and by the way, I want to be really, really specific with how broadly I define that term, because I know sitting in these audiences, we have people who are paraprofessionals, and we have community members, and we have librarians, and some have it by title and degrees. And today, I anoint you all librarians, because if you're not librarians in title, you're librarians in spirit. And frankly, if anyone makes the difference between you doing good work, whether you have a degree or not, don't listen to them ever again. So you're all librarians today. And that means that we all have a common mission. And that mission of librarians is to improve society, and you're welcome to stop the mission statement there if you want, But how do we do it? Right? A lot of people talk about how do we improve society. We do it through facilitating knowledge creation in our community. We do it through learning. We do it through information. We do it through lots of things, but ultimately the act of which we are engaged in is the learning act. And that puts us in a really special and somewhat rarefied position. When we seek to make our society better, when we seek to make our communities better, we do it in a way where we engage them, and we engage them in doing something that is so fundamentally human that no other people can, nothing else can really match it, which is to learn. And so I want you to think about that for a moment, that what we're here to do is make our communities better. So the websites we build, the buildings that we build, the collections we build, all of these are simply tools. The real collection of your library, the real collection of your project, is not the books and licensed materials and resources and seed libraries and makerspaces. They're tools to help you on it. The real collection is your community. And you need to engage them in conversation. And sometimes that means you need to get the hell out of your buildings to do it. You need to spend time where they're learning. You need to spend time where they're overcoming problems. And that's the other thing that we need to think about. As you're going through this, as you're talking about communities, as you're talking about your projects, as you're talking about how we can help the community get better, I want you to avoid a couple of things. The first thing I want you to avoid is talking about using the phrase user. And you'll see that lots of speakers out there will use that phrase, and they'll have a very positive aspect to it. And I don't, because to me, only computer scientists and drug dealers have users. I'm not sure that's the company we want to keep, but it could be. Users is becoming way, 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 way too closely associated with consumer or customer, which are the terms I also don't like. And the reason I don't like them is not because of the attitude of the customer's always right or serve the customers. It's because it has the idea that someone consumes and then leaves. Someone uses us and then leaves. And what a good library is, and a good library in a school, a good library in a community, a good library in a university, in a law office, whatever, what a good library does is it builds a membership that co-owns the activity. Where you want to get is where the success of your library is the success of the community, not the success of what you've done in spite of it. And one way that we need to stop thinking about it is oftentimes when we think about users or customers or consumers, we think in terms of problems and deficits. We think in terms of what's wrong with our community. And think about literacy for a moment. Right? Libraries, public libraries, school libraries, youth librarians have done a brilliant job of talking about reading and the importance of literacy. But how do we promote it? Sometimes we promote it in Escape to New World. Sometimes we promote it as Let Your Mind Go Free. But too often we promote it as our community doesn't read enough. Our community has a literacy problem. Our schools aren't any good. And what happens is when we do that with internet access, we provide internet access. Why? Oh, we're too rural. Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, our community doesn't understand it enough. In essence, if we approach our communities by constantly seeking to solve their problems, what we constantly do is remind them that they have problems. And over time, you will not be invited back. We had this situation at Syracuse University. We had all these psychology students and social work students, and we unleashed them in downtown Syracuse. You know, it's like, look, here's a whole wonderful place of people who have no money and no future and no thoughts. Go remind them of that. And what happened was the community came back and they said, please don't send them anymore. We're tired of hearing how we're broken. And for years, they weren't invited back. And it wasn't like poverty went away, and it wasn't like the idea that we didn't have ethnic problems and youth violence and all of this other stuff. I don't want to deny that they're problems. But what happened is we had a new chancellor come in, and she said, scholarship and action. And what they did was they re-engaged the community. But this time, instead of saying, hey, we're going to send you students to handle your youth violence issues, your ethnic disputes, your poverty issues, we said, what do you want to be? And think about the difference of approaching a community from, hey, we see all that's wrong with you, we can help, to, what do you want to be? That's the main question that in your projects, when you're talking with your community members, that's the question that we as librarians seek to solve. Do we want to be a literate community? Do we want to be an affluent community? Do we want to be a community that cares about social justice? Do we want to be a community that's green? Do we want to be a community that's an economic startup? Do we want to be a community that values children? What do we want to be? By focusing not on websites and blogs and tools and collections and books and materials, but on the aspirations and dreams of our members, upon what they want to be, upon what they strive for, we will build not websites and materials and be a place and a building and a tax burden. We will be the facilitators and enablers of community dreams. And I think that that's the best definition of libraries I've heard in a long time. The idea of a place where there are books, or a place where I check things out, or we're the cheap place until we can afford Amazon. This is not what we want to be. Years ago, we used to talk about librarians as the best search engines. No, you're not. Until you can return 1.5 million irrelevant results in under 3 microsystems and bombard it with advertising, you suck as a search engine. Why are we competing? Why are we competing with these folks? I don't get it. So we'll think about that for a minute. Positives, right? A lot of you have projects that were defined, and once again, not because the problems don't exist, but because we need to turn problems into opportunities. A lot of you are defined by how can we increase economic development. You can either phrase that as how can we make more financial and business resources available to our community, or you can phrase it as we got no money, help. One will get you attention, will get you people to join in, will get you partners. The other will get people really tired of being reminded of these things. So I don't want to deny that our communities have problems, but I think all too often we've denied that our communities have dreams and aspirations, and that's as much our job as anything. Remove obstacles towards a greater goal. Don't simply concentrate on the obstacles. Now, the other phrase that Mick pointed out that I'd like to bring up for a minute was he talked about that we're trying to, that the I Lead USA project, regardless of what state you're in and where you are, and bringing these wonderful speakers in and giving you these sessions, and giving you time to just meet with each other. It's not about building awesome projects. It's about building awesome librarians. And there's been a rather interesting dialogue going on the Twitter sphere over the past 2 or 3 weeks. It's been, frankly, very discouraging. So the movers and shakers came out, and this led to this inevitable suite of blog postings and Twitter feeds about more or less who, why me, oh, these people get attention because they wear like hipster glasses and sports coats that are 3 sizes too short, and don't they know that really the cool librarians never leave the building and they sit there and answer reference questions at midnight, even though, you know, like the cats that walk by, they'll answer reference questions, and that's what's important. And it frankly brings out an ugly side of our profession. The ugly side of our profession is, for some reason, we crave to get attention as a profession, and yet somehow when any of our individuals get attention, we think that they're undeserving, or that doesn't translate to attention for all. We are all going to be awesome librarians, and we all need to be awesome librarians. And the difference between being an awesome librarian, or an epic librarian, as my 13-year-old would say, apparently epic is the new awesome. It's about not simply doing your job, but understanding why you do your job. Because if you seek to understand why you do it, it helps you determine when you should start doing something differently. If all you start to do is concentrate on what you do, you might be able to do it better, but eventually what you do will not be as relevant as what you should be doing. So when you hear things like, should we put makerspaces in libraries? Should we have seed libraries? There was just a story about a library that loans out guitars. Oh, but that's not what we should do. Why? Well, because we do books. Why? Right? I mean, it's amazing to me, this idea that, well, we do books and we'll do e-books because it's got the word books in it. It's like librarians only became existent when Gutenberg figured out movable type. I mean, we were there a couple thousand years ago, right? Eli Nyberger came and spoke, said there was probably a committee at the Library of Alexandria that, you know, 3,000 years ago that was debating this, you know, what to do about scrolls and the emergence of mobile technology. They're just tools. Why do we do them? And what's amazing to me is, I've said before and I'll say it again, to me a room full of books and materials and stacked to the rafters is a closet or a warehouse. An empty book with a librarian in it is a library. Because awesome librarians realize that what we're ultimately about is human-to-human conversation, connection, and learning. And what we do is we facilitate that. And sometimes learning requires a book, and sometimes learning requires a guitar, and sometimes learning requires a seed, and sometimes learning requires quiet, and sometimes it requires great deal of noise. And it is our job to understand that that's our role. So I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Some of you may have heard it. But in 2011, during the Egyptian Revolution, which unfortunately looks like the last Egyptian Revolution before the one that's coming, something very interesting happened. Everyone, all the news media and such, was focused on Tahrir Square in Cairo. Well, I can take a drink. We'll have a Mark Rubio moment. Hold on a moment. But the protest around against the Mubarak administration happened not only in Cairo, but happened all over the country. In fact, it happened in Alexandria, which is the largest shipping port in Egypt. And so there were constant protests and there was violence. And what happened on January 28th at 6 p.m., and no one quite knows how it happened, all security, all military, all police, all security for the city disappeared. At the same time that magically all the jails opened their doors and all the rapists and murderers and thieves were let loose on the streets. This resulted in a massive mob scene and a massive amount of destruction and violence. What happened was roving mobs would go from government building, and they would use Molotov cocktails, and they would use anything they had, and they would burn them down to the ground. In protest and anger at this government, at this administration, at Mubarak himself, they destroyed every symbol they could find of the regime. And then they turned to the Library of Alexandria. Now, the Library of Alexandria was built not a decade before by Mubarak in an attempt to recapture the glory and knowledge and the esteem of the ancient Library of Alexandria. But it was a building built really to show off the power of Egypt and really the power of Mubarak. His wife sat on the board. It would be hard to argue about another building that was more closely associated with the administration, and the mob moved towards the library. And as they moved forward, something amazing happened. Protesters grabbed hand in hand, men, women, and children, and they surrounded the entire library to protect it. By the end of the protests, by the end of the night, by the end of the revolution, not one window had been broken and not one rock thrown against the wall of the Library of Alexandria. They invited the librarians to come out of the library, who were terrified inside. And they asked them the next day if they could put a massive protest flag on the steps of the library. And the librarian said yes. And every day that the protesters would go out to march in the streets and protest against the administration, they would touch the flag on the steps of the library as they went out to fight for freedom and justice and equality under the law. Now, I tell this story to my students, master's students who are preparing to become librarians. And while it's an inspiring story, when you look at people about to become librarians or librarians, they look really, really, really nervous. And they suddenly go, "Now, Dave, exactly what are you training me for?" You know, here I am, I'm thinking I'm going to go do youth librarianship, and the biggest fight I'm going to have is Harry Potter, Satanistic or not, and you're asking me to go to the streets and basically overthrow the government on a regular basis. Not quite. I tell them, these are awesome librarians. And they want to say, they use the phrase, extraordinarily librarians. They're extraordinarily librarians. And I say, I don't like that. That implies that they're extraordinary, that somehow these librarians went above and beyond what we would expect the profession to be. I want this to be the bar that we all attain. This is where we seek to be awesome librarians. Not that we're going to overthrow governments in the near term. Not that we're going to seek to deal with this massive violence. But on a daily basis, what we're going to do is help a community understand that the library and what the library can do is essential to the dreams and aspirations of that community. That's what these folks do. What those librarians did in 10 years to change it from the symbol of the government to a symbol of the people, what was it that these awesome librarians, these epic librarians, did day in and day out to change them from being the idea of a government workers to the idea of a people's force? They did their job. Every day, they did their job. Every day, they walked in and they did to the best of their ability what librarians do. But they didn't do it to better the collection. They didn't do it inspired by the building. They didn't look at their job as the artifacts and infrastructure, the coral reef without the life. What they did for 10 years, their job was, for 10 years, was to make the community around them better, to help the community around them learn, to help the community around them aspire to more than what they were given, to seek out what is better. We can look at literacy, we can look at reading, we can look at media as a way to entertain the masses and numb them from the truth, or we can look at libraries and knowledge as a way to have them question everything. An awesome librarian understands that what we seek to do through literacy, what we seek to do through our databases, what we seek to do through law librarianship, through medical librarianship, is not to do the artifacts and materials and collections, but to do better community work, better engaged democracy, better medicine, better law. When we wire people to machines, we don't do it because, hey, let's see what their heart's doing. We do it because we want them to get better. When we give someone a book, when we give them material, when we loan out a guitar, when we simply sit and listen, we do it not because, hey, as librarians, that's what we were told to do. We do it because it's going to make their world better. The community is the collection. And you're not going to learn about what those dreams are, what those aspirations are, by looking at collection statistics. You're not going to look at circulation data. You can't simply go in and say, this was checked in, this was checked out, therefore our community is. You have no idea. You have to go out into the community. You have to leave those buildings on a regular basis, and you have to invite those communities into your building on a regular basis. And I Leave You project, which I absolutely love, is in Eureka, Illinois, which is in very rural Illinois. A woman moved in. She was a commercial chef. She went to the library and said, there's not enough places to have lunch here. Now, the librarian could have said, well, thanks for letting us know. Here's a sandwich. I don't know. Here's a book on business plans, or here's whatever. Instead, what the librarian said was, you know what? Why don't you use that corner of our property? Every Tuesday, why don't you just bring, we've got some tables, set them up. You've got access to a commercial kitchen. Why don't you become the third lunch place? And Thursdays turned into Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. And that turned into a catering business. And that turned into the idea of a community coming to the library to learn and have lunch and to talk to each other. They won an award from the Rural Economic Development Association of the state. The point is that that was an awesome project, but that wasn't the project they showed up with I Leave USA for. It turns out awesome librarians showed up to do projects, and they became awesome regardless of the task before them. So why am I so jealous? I'm jealous because sitting amongst you, sitting in Colorado, sitting in Iowa, Utah, Illinois, Ohio, you have brilliant people on your left and your right. And they're not just the people who get on the big screens. And they're not just the people who show you how to make videos. And they're not just the people who do sketches. They're not just the people who we talk about as rock stars and all this other stuff. They're the people literally sitting to your left and your right and right where you are. You are going to be the awesome librarians. And if you're not already, then look for inspiration to become them. Look for a friend to mentor you. Look for a way to engage you. And the way that you're going to measure, the way you're going to see if you've made it or not, is every day when you wake up and you're excited to go in to help the community get better. Every day when you're excited to say, what more can I do? Not more with less, not more of the same, not simply can I catalog faster, but simply to say, what dreams can I enable today? Where can I make this happen? So it's not going to be in a single project, and it's not going to be in a single residency, and it's not going to be in a single experience, but this is a starting point. And you wouldn't have been chosen, and you wouldn't be sitting here today, and you wouldn't be hearing this word if we didn't think that you were quite capable of doing it. And your job after these residencies, after these intercessions, after hearing these big heads and hearing these grand thoughts and learning these techniques and technologies, is to pass it on. Because what we need in this profession are not just movers and shakers, and not just emerging leaders, and not just people who get picked on this grant or that grant. What we need is an entire profession of awesome librarians, an entire profession dedicated to the betterment of our society, an entire profession that is willing to stand up and talk open access and talk about access to the internet and talk about digital divide issues and talk about creativity and innovation and say if it is about learning and knowledge, it is about our profession. And if you look at this building, you see something outdated. If you look at this building and see a warehouse of books, walk in and let me show you that this is about you, your dreams, and your aspirations. That's what this is about. And that's why I'm jealous I can't be there today. But damn well sure I'm going to make it as soon as I can. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope that you have a wonderful time.
By tweeting to hashtag ILeadUSA, and you can ask.
And David can answer questions.
And David can answer questions, personal questions, questions about his inspirational speech. And ladies and gentlemen, David Helplankus. Okay. We're going live to Springfield, which is words I've always wanted to say. I'm Andrew Bullen.